All right, Rand, here's a question. He says, intellectual property covers a wide range of disciplines. Does this mean that you can show me how to make money licensing intellectual property of almost any kind? How can I do this?
People can make money licensing intellectual property, and when we say of any kind, I mean, there's many kinds of intellectual property. There's copyright, trademark, patents, know-how. And the question of really can you make money depends on how you want to monetize intellectual property. Obviously, if you're a startup company and you want to license in intellectual property, then the opportunity to make money on it is really how you commercialize it or exploit it. Do you make products from it, or is it a service-based business? We had also talked about the fact that you could do a master licensing deal in which you acquire the master licensing rights and sub-license it back out. That's another way that you can make money on it from relicensing it. You could own the intellectual property and license it out to others to commercialize or exploit the intellectual property rights. So those are the ways in which you can make money on it. Now, as far as the different kinds of intellectual property, obviously intellectual property is very broad, very deep, very expansive. You've got everything from basic consumer products to very complex nanotechnologies and biotechnologies and everything in between. So it's really a question of where your expertise lies. There's many opportunities for making money in licensing intellectual property. And by the way, you know, here's another tip for those. Again, I talk about this a little bit, is, you know, oftentimes you may come across inventors or companies that are not familiar with licensing, and you could have identified an opportunity out there and operate, if you will, as an intermediary to put the parties together and be paid for putting the deal together, the licensing deal together. That's another possibility. So those are different ways in which you can make money licensing intellectual property. How you do that is really a question of getting involved, getting engaged in the field, having a basic understanding of what's involved in licensing. And again, if you're interested in doing this, I encourage you to get my Intro to Licensing and Licensing Mastery, because that's exactly what it's going to do. It's going to teach you how to do this, how to put these deals together, whether you want to license in or whether you want to license out.
Great. Rand, how does licensing increase the overall value of a business and make it attractive to potential investors?
Good question. This is what I talked about earlier. It's in license property. You know, in this day and age, what's happening is the marketplace is becoming more competitive, and there's a lot of products and services that are becoming what's known as commodities, and they're losing their value, their unique value, and it's becoming more of a competition on price. And so what the situation is in today's market, and I can tell you, especially if you're looking to finance a startup or an operating concern, intellectual property is critical. Today's investors are looking for a competitive advantage. They're looking for companies with intellectual property that provides that competitive advantage. And for listeners wondering, what do we mean by competitive advantage? What we're talking about is having something that others don't have. It's like creating a moat around your business. If you have the latest and greatest new cooking gadget or the latest and greatest new toaster, or you've got a new software program, or you've got something that others don't have, you have a competitive advantage. That's what investors are looking for. They're looking for new technologies. If you're wondering what are some of the ways in which it can increase value, first of all, if you have an intellectual property that you've been out there, you've proven a market, you've sold a few products, you have a way of valuing it, that's going to attract money to investors. If you acquire an intellectual property that has been in the marketplace, you acquire a brand or a software technology, that's going to attract potential investors. If you license out a component of your intellectual property, that's going to license out investors. And by the way, there is a marketplace that exists, depending on what you have in your license agreements, in which it will actually prepay you for your royalty stream. Okay, and what I mean by this is if you have a contract, a license agreement that you've licensed out your intellectual property, and it's a two-year deal, and let's say your deal entitles you to a 10% royalty and the company pays you every quarter $250,000, you can actually take that contract into what are known as third-party financing companies who will actually prepay you or discount that intellectual property contract and pay you, let's say, 80% of what the total value of those payments are worth. So you can get the money today if you need to expand. And they will then, in turn, take the position of the intermediary who receives the royalty payments directly from the licensee and then collects those royalties, and obviously having given you 80% of the value, they make 20% on it. So those are a couple of different scenarios and variations in terms of what intellectual property and licensing can do to increase the value of the business.
That's absolute proof that you've got something of value. Just like a home. You own a home and the bank will finance 80% of it, or maybe in the good old days they would.
Oh, sure. You know, intellectual property is becoming more valued in many cases for many businesses. In fact, if you were to take a look at the Fortune 1000 companies and you were to look at their asset balance sheets, and not to get too complicated on the accounting, but if you really look at the assets of many of these large and mid-sized corporations today, you would find that over 70% of those assets on their balance sheet are intellectual property, and in many cases it's licensed intellectual property.
Right. Okay, you've got a lot of probably negative thinking out there where people think, oh, I'm not going to mess with this licensing, because we've all heard the stories where you get a licensing deal with a large corporation, you think you're fully protected, you may sell it to a large corporation, then they'll violate the agreement knowing they have bigger pockets and they'll just, you know, run you into the ground with their attorneys. Does that happen today? Does a small guy need to worry about that still?
There's always the possibility that you can have large corporations who will sit on it or use their large position to force you to do something as the small guy. That's always a possibility. You know, part of this licensing, especially if you're an inventor or you're a small company looking to license out, is understanding who you're doing business with. You know, in many cases, you can look at these large corporations and they can, you know, present what you would think is a great opportunity. But you have to really ask yourself, are they the appropriate partner for me? Do I need to have my product positioned here? If you want to develop a relationship with these large corporations, then you have to be sure and you have to be willing to invest with the right kind of intellectual property attorney to make sure that you structure your agreements properly. You know, the biggest challenge you usually have, especially with these larger corporations, is having inappropriate documents, not structuring your license agreement the right way, not having the right terms and clarity. I talked about the clarity early on within that agreement. If you structure your contracts correctly, generally you're not going to have a problem. Are there situations where large corporations take advantage? Absolutely. In some cases, you have to be prepared to enforce legal action. Generally, it doesn't happen, but there are cases it does. You just have to be aware. But it all comes down to this: understanding, doing due diligence, understanding who you're doing business with, structuring your agreements right. Those are the keys to having a successful deal and putting together a deal with a large corporation that's going to really be win-win and stay on track and not put you as a small company in a situation of having to face legal action against a large company.
All right, when you said you may sell intellectual property to a large company and they may sit on it, them sitting on it, is that some kind of strategy on their part to maybe gain some kind of upper hand, or is it just that they sometimes are slow moving and never do anything with the property that you sell them?
It's a combination of both. Having worked in the studios, I've actually encountered this situation where a major toy company will license a boy's property or a girl's property, basically pay $1 million and kill it in the market. They'll basically pay $1 million, do minimal work for it, sit on it, and let it die out. And they're doing that for competitive reasons. They're doing it to protect their core brand. So that is not an uncommon thing to have happen. There's many, many companies, larger companies, that have licensed intellectual property and sat on it and done nothing with it, specifically because it's a competitive move. It keeps that technology off the marketplace. And again, this goes back to understanding who you're doing business with. If you have a new technology, if you have a product or a service and you're going to approach a company, you know, you've got to do some homework and you say, am I going to be a big fish in a small pond? Is this new technology that I've created, a product I've created, is this going to take sales away from their core business or products they already have in the market? Obviously, if it's competitive to what they currently have, take that into account. You're going to see that many times companies will license these and take them off the market simply because it's a way of preventing competition. Now, with that said, certainly within your agreements, and again, I talk about this in Licensing Mastery, you can structure in what's known as performance clauses, where if your licensee, if this company hasn't taken action or brought the product to market within a certain period of time, there's termination clauses that say, well, if you don't market it by such and such date, then you're going to lose the rights to this technology. So there are tools that you can use within the contract to help enforce a lack of action, if you will, on the company. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to good due diligence and understanding whether or not this larger company makes a good partner for your intellectual property.
I see a huge opportunity. Let's say you're doing the research, say, with all these universities, and you find something that is a direct competitor and a threat to a large company, you acquire the license and then go to them and ask them if they want to license it, knowing that it's a competitive technology or intellectual property, and then they may want to buy it out from you anyway.
That's one possibility. By the way, there's brokers out there that do that. I mean, there's many things that go on in the marketplace that are available to you today. There's a lot of exchanges that are out there, buy, sell, trade intellectual property. There's many ways in which you can make money with intellectual property without actually having to make anything. I mean, you can have access to information of knowing what companies are looking for what. You could know a intellectual property exchange. You could put an intellectual property up for sale. I mean, there's many places to go with intellectual property. You could, as you said, acquire the rights to an intellectual property and then turn around and offer to a company who's not aware of it, who would be interested in purchasing it. Again, it would depend on the stage the intellectual property is in. Let me use the example like real estate. You know, there's many people out there that know how to buy real estate that is underperforming in the marketplace and be able to turn it very quickly and turn it into a performing piece of property. I like to use the real estate model because it's very similar to intellectual property. Well, intellectual property is the same and to a large extent has similar characteristics. If you can identify intellectual property that is underperforming, you could turn around and acquire the rights to it either directly through a license or an option and turn around and find a party who can commercialize it, because you got to remember it's a very large marketplace out there. Unlike real estate, which has a multiple listing service where there's a central repository and people can find these real estate listings, there is no central repository for all the intellectual property that exists out there. That's one of the challenges. That's slowly changing, by the way. If you go online, you can find a number of these intellectual property exchanges, and PX Exchange, IP Cafe, any number of them. If you're interested, you can do a quick search online, just put in intellectual property exchange, intellectual property auction. Any number of those terms will bring up a whole host of these intellectual property exchanges or auctions or places you can go to buy, sell, trade intellectual property. You have freepatentauction.com, IP menu. You've got yet2.com, another one that offers information on IP for sale. So there's many, many of these exchanges out there, and you should be taking a look at them because there's lots of opportunity for you to be able to see what intellectual property is there. And, you know, in many cases, because it is such a broad marketplace, there's no central deposit that you can go to find all the intellectual property. It's a very fragmented market. And by the very nature of having a very fragmented market, meaning it's hard to find for buyers and sellers to come together, it presents an opportunity for those that are involved. I operate as an agent. I have a specialty in entertainment and consumer products, and I represent companies as well as properties, but I don't have a huge database of knowing who's got what properties where. It takes some research. It takes focusing in on what you're looking for. And so for anybody out there, as they listen to this, there are any number of these exchanges that as you get familiar to them, you'll be able to take advantage of them. This is kind of like, for those that may be familiar with, you know, the stock markets and everything, there is some opportunities here that are almost like arbitrage opportunities. Arbitrage meaning you know that there's a price discrepancy. You find one product lower from a seller and a buyer willing to buy it at a higher price, and you step in and buy it at a price in between and then sell it to that buyer. Well, the same thing exists in the intellectual property market. You may know companies that are interested in acquiring or licensing intellectual property, and if you know where to go find that intellectual property, you may just be able to make some money on the difference between what the property owner is willing to license it for and what the company looking to license it is willing to pay for it. Again, much like what an agent might do if they were representing them. So a couple of other sources for you if you're interested in looking at this. Ideabuyer.com is another website. Ideatrade.com, another website that you can go to if you're looking to buy, sell, find new ideas. All of these are opportunities for you. I'll give you another opportunity, okay, that maybe many of your listeners may not be aware of. Some of the biggest corporations in the world have websites with intellectual property just sitting there waiting for you to license it, waiting for you as a small or a startup company to license it. And you say, well, wait a minute. Why would a large corporation do that? Because the answer is, you have to understand, many of these large corporations like Dow Corning or Hewlett-Packard or AT&T, they have these huge R&D departments that create not only intellectual property as it relates to the products and services they're offering, but they also have a lot of offshoots and new developments. And many times these intellectual properties, they themselves cannot incubate them and bring them to the market and commercialize them. So what they do is they actually have these available for small startup companies who are interested in licensing these technologies. And what happens is you actually open up the resource to these companies because they are interested in seeing you become successful with developing these intellectual properties. Because if you can successfully incubate or launch these new intellectual properties that they've created, they're going to be keeping an eye on you. And if you suddenly build it up to $5 or $10 or $20 million, guess what? They may be buying you out. You know, and I talk about this in the University IP $1 billion Startup Secret audio program that I put together, but I also talk about it in Licensing Leverage and Licensing Mastery. This is a resource. So when companies are out there saying, geez, I'd love to start a business, but I don't know what I want to do, you've got just a gold mine of intellectual property to start a business around. So you can go to a company like AT&T.com, you can search their site, and they have a whole section on technology licensing. And they tell you, we've got intellectual property available for license. This is what our licensing program is. Here's the type of companies that we're looking for. And so here's another tip. You want to start up a business. You go to a company like AT&T and you license one of their technologies. Can you imagine how quickly you can ramp up the value of your business if you go in there and say that we've got a licensing deal from AT&T to commercialize one of their intellectual property technologies?
Yeah, you just walk in with all that established credibility.
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about really leveraging the name. They've got the credibility. You've got this license. You've got the talent. I mean, there's many, many opportunities that exist out there, and understanding how to license those, you can find many, many categories, whatever it is, data management, multimedia, wireless. You know, when you think about all these technologies that are out there, many of them are on the books for these big corporations, but they themselves can't license them. And what they're looking for is they're looking for
marketing. They need people who can sell.
Right. They're looking for companies that can commercialize and build them up and sell. And it's just sitting there. And you're talking about the potential to get millions of dollars. And smart, savvy entrepreneurs today in the world, any of your listeners listening today, you know, if you do your research, you do your homework, I encourage you, take a few hours a day for the next 2 weeks. Just start searching through the Internet. And I say the Internet because it's an invaluable tool. It gives you access to so much information. Start compiling this. Suddenly these opportunities are going to present themselves. And then you're going to suddenly start looking at these corporations, universities. And what I talk to clients about as well as when I speak, and I talk about this in all of the licensing courses that I've developed, you just need an awareness of what this licensing is. And suddenly when you have an awareness, if you look around on the Internet, you suddenly are seeing licensing everywhere. Suddenly this whole licensing thing seems to be appearing everywhere, and it's only because you've finally gotten a recognition and understanding of it. Like I said, the purpose of licensing is to give you an opportunity to acquire these technologies or services or entertainment or whatever it is. And again, you don't necessarily have to be the expert that knows how to put these deals together. You just have to know that licensing is there, how to ask the questions, where to access the experts for it, and how to understand what questions to ask. That really is key more than anything else. And I talk about this in Intro to Licensing, Licensing Mastery, Licensing Leverage, University IP, Business Process Licensing, and all my products. What they're designed to do is not only teach you about what licensing is and how to do licensing, but also how to ask the right questions so it can put you in a position to take advantage of those licensing opportunities.
So how can someone license the rights to some lyrics of a song?
You know, it's interesting. Licensing music, you know, similar to be it movie or TV shows, the difficulty or ease of acquiring it just depends on how popular it is, how large it is, what you want to do with the lyrics, what type of product you want to put out there. It's all dependent upon what you want to do with it. And so there will be some songs where it will be very difficult to get the rights, especially the very, very popular ones where they really look to protect the usage and integrity of the music because it represents such a significant revenue source. You know, this music or a particular song may be generating tens of millions of dollars in revenue. In other cases, songs that aren't quite as popular or perhaps up and coming, it would be easier to acquire the rights to the song lyrics. So the answer is it depends. And you hear that a lot in licensing. I say it depends because really licensing is very fluid and it does depend. It depends on the market, the situation, the value, what's going on. There's a lot of variables that come into effect. But at the end of the day, if you see a song, you hear a song, you're looking to use it, simply pick up the phone and ask because you won't know how difficult or easy it is to license until you ask.
Would it be necessary or advisable to form a separate corporation or as an LLC in order to promote and sell my intellectual property licenses?
Good question, and you know, I meet with many, many people that do form LLCs specifically to hold their intellectual property. It's a good strategy, it's fairly common, and it also gives you an option. In addition to promoting and looking to sell your intellectual property, you also have an opportunity to license your intellectual property out under the LLC. And really, you know, the purpose of the LLC is if you want to give the LLC, say, the master license rights, and for any number of reasons you want to operate through that LLC, or perhaps rather than holding the intellectual property in your own name, you prefer to hold it in a corporate name. So that would be the purpose of forming that LLC.
Rand, how do you set up territories when you license a product to someone?
It depends on how you want to structure your licensing program. Some products or services are more appropriate for licensing broader territories like the U.S. or Canada or Mexico, especially if they're going to be selling. You know, just the nature of the retail distribution is such that it's more appropriate on a national basis. Others, such as information products, are better on a localized basis because the delivery of those products or services are to an individual business, or perhaps the licensee is operating on a per capita basis, meaning they have the rights to operate in an area of a million population or whatever the case is. So a lot of how you determine geographically where you want to license is strictly dependent upon the nature of the distribution, how the product or service is delivered, and what makes the most sense for an individual or multiple licensees.
Rand, are there recognized certifications, due diligence other than ask around or ratings to identify a top IP attorney to work with, and should they practice in a state you do business in?
Well, I think that with anything, you know, finding a good IP attorney, first of all, due diligence is good. Certifications on the attorney, it really depends on what the practice area is. Most IP attorneys are either going to focus on patents or trademarks and copyrights. I always find referrals, references, and recommendations are the best way to go. It's not necessary that they are in the same state where you're located. Again, intellectual property law is really something that operates around the world. It's not uncommon. I've worked with many clients whose IP attorneys reside in other cities such as Los Angeles or Dallas or wherever the case is. It just depends on the nature of what's needed, who the recommendation is, and ultimately who you feel comfortable doing business with.
Okay. Here's a question. What is the process of protecting my intellectual property?
Well, that's really a legal process that goes on. There's a process for, you know, if you have a patent, an invention, software, a formulation, something like that, you've heard of design, utility, patents, that is a process that you go through using an attorney or a patent agent. There's copyright, which is a registration process where you copyright your book, your film, your script, your software, your theatrical play, whatever it is, that's a registration that's done through the Copyright Office. And then there's a trademark, which is a recognition generally. A trademark is one of a company name or the brand name of a product, and that's done as well through a registration. And that process can generally be done yourself direct. There's the Office of Patents and Trademarks. If you want to the USPTO, I believe it's USPTO.com. If you want to take a look there, you'll find out more information. And then there's the U.S. Copyright Office, both of which are accessible online, provide you with all the information and take you through the steps on how to do it.
Rand, can you license a procedure or process to create or manufacture an item or service, and how would you go about that?
It's known as business process, know-how. It's a good question because oftentimes there are certain situations where there may be a product. It could be a patented product, but there's also a manufacturing process or a marketing process or system that goes with it. So it's called know-how. Sometimes it's also known as a trade secret, but it's know-how. And this know-how covers processes, systems, procedures, techniques, and ways in which these products are manufactured and delivered. Now, know-how, as I had mentioned earlier, is not registered. It's kept as confidential information, trade secret information. Sometimes know-how or business processes or business systems are licensed as part of a patent license. So it's not uncommon to see a license for a patent and know-how technology. In other cases, it could strictly be just a process, business process or know-how license, where you're licensing the know-how, the knowledge to do or deliver or produce something. I have an audio product that I created. It's called Business Process Licensing that talks specifically about this, how you license this know-how, because know-how is becoming very important. And you're seeing this with some of the largest corporations. You're seeing some of these big delivery corporations, such as UPS and FedEx. They have logistics processes and systems they've created. They're licensing out to other companies. You're seeing a lot of manufacturers who have delivered production and delivery systems that they're licensing to others. You're finding even in the car manufacturing business, there's a component beyond their licensed products or their intellectual property in their products, which is actually the processes, the procedures, the systems that they've put in place that they themselves are intellectual property that they can license to other companies to use. And that's the same for even small businesses. You know, if you're an information-based business that has marketing systems, real estate, leadership development, anything like that, that you've been out there, that you've been delivering to your customers, that is established, you can package that up and license that out under know-how licensing agreements.
Rand, if you could suggest one single licensing method to use if someone wanted to create a large income stream and simultaneously create viral marketing for their digital product, what method would you choose?
Their digital product, I'm assuming, is an information product.
Yeah.
And for viral, it probably would be a license for the rights to reproduce and resell, because the nature of viral marketing is it spins out. So my thought on that would be to issue a license for both the right to sell direct as well as reproduce it and allow others to sell. So almost like a sub-licensing type of situation where they have the right to reproduce and sell it direct as well as have the license to re-license it to others to sell. Now, it gets kind of tricky there because anytime you have anything that virals out and you allow the re-licensing, you have a situation of control. But there's other ways in which you can do it. If you have an information product where they only have one source to go to acquire rights or get the information download, that's one way that you can control it. But I would think from a viral standpoint on a digital product, what you're talking about is a re-license type of situation, and that's the strategy that I would use.
How much equity is intellectual property in a biotech or high-tech company worth to the investor?
Depending on what the intellectual property is, it's really the value of the company. And then it becomes a question of what percentage of that value through equity the investor is going to acquire, depending on what stage the company is. If it's a pure startup needing for money to launch out the door, then the investor is probably going to acquire a bigger percentage as opposed to a company that's already up and operating and commercializing that technology. And in many cases, the intellectual property will be valued and then revalued at different stages. For instance, the intellectual property, especially biotech, some of the more complex life sciences, will have some level of value through its various research stages, through clinics, trials, things like that. And then once it starts to reach its test market stage, it'll go to another level of value, which would have to be revalued. And then, of course, that revaluation will determine what the investors would get if there is, in fact, an equity raise or an offering.
Okay. Rand, I'm good at finding potential deals, but I'm not too good at negotiating. What specific steps can I take to find someone to negotiate deals on my behalf? For example, if I run an ad in the paper, what would you recommend the ad say, and what specific skills should I be looking for?
You know, if you're not good at negotiating on your behalf, then you're looking for people who would negotiate for you. Those typically would be, you know, lawyers obviously do a lot of negotiation, but, you know, it could also be a licensing agent, a licensing consultant, a representative. It doesn't necessarily always have to be a licensing consultant per se. Perhaps it's a business development or a business strategist who's part of what they do is they represent clients in negotiations. And beyond that, I wouldn't say it's necessarily something you're running an ad in the paper for. I think it's really kind of a referral-based thing that you're looking for somebody to represent you in a negotiation. Typically, though, if it's for intellectual property, I'd say where you should look to would be either an attorney or a licensing agent.
Rand, what one skill would you identify as attributing to most of your success as the licensing guy?
You know, I would say obviously just having some good experience, keeping myself abreast of the market. People skills are very important in licensing. You know, the ability to be able to negotiate with people, interact with people. Networking is key. You know, keeping yourself in the marketplace. It's really a lot of who you know. And through that who you know, it's understanding what's happening in the marketplace, keeping an ear to the market, staying active and in touch with people so that you have access to the resources. Another big part of my success is knowing who I can turn to, bringing resources into different situations I have with clients, whether it's legal resources, marketing, knowing where to go, how to access, and keeping active in that field. And I think those are probably some of the key attributes that have really helped me in my success. One of the things that's been great in attracting new clients is getting out there and teaching. I enjoy the teaching because I think it's important for people to understand and have an awareness of what licensing is. I don't know that there's many opportunities out there for people to learn about licensing. I think you'll find more seminars and conferences that speak about licensing from the legal standpoint, but my focus is on the commercialization standpoint, the money making. I don't speak much and focus much on how you go about protecting the idea, the legal nuts and bolts. I leave that to the attorneys and the patent agents. What I focus on is how do you monetize, how do you market and make money licensing your intellectual property.
What are the three most important questions to consider when purchasing a license?
First and foremost, when you're looking at a license, obviously one, and for any source you've got, is obviously you want to verify, you know, do they have the rights they say they have? Is it their intellectual property? Make sure that when you are evaluating intellectual property, you understand exactly what rights are there. Second is to understand exactly what is included and involved in the intellectual property. You know, if it's a patent, what is available to license on that patent? What variations? If it's a movie or a TV show, you know, what rights are you going to be given? Understand exactly what the components are, the pieces to that license are going to include. And then the third thing, of course, is going to be what is going to be expected from you as a licensee. Are you going to be on your own with this deal, or is there going to be support? Because you really understand and have to have an understanding of what you're going to get into. You know, as I said earlier, I talk a lot about this in licensing mastery. I talk about in licensing leverage. You know, if you're going to open up a relationship with a major studio or entertainment company or big brand, you know, sometimes they'll give you support, sometimes they won't. Case in point, I had a client. We went out and we got a license for one of the brands in GM. And the agent representing them saying, GM offers no support. You're on your own. Here's the license. You've got to go on your own. There's no advertising, no promotion, no nothing. You're on your own. And so you have to take that into consideration. Is this a brand or an intellectual property that's going to be something that I can develop on my own, or am I looking for some supports? Those would be the three things. Due diligence on who owns what as it relates to the intellectual property. Second, what's going to be included in terms of that intellectual property. And third, what type of relationship are you forming here from the standpoint of licensor support behind you and that intellectual property?
Were you surprised that you were on your own? Did you know you were going to be on your own?
Well, actually, we did not know at that time we would be on our own. So we actually got in and met with the agent. We were surprised that GM did not offer any licensee support, but it was just their position on their licensing program was that the GM brand in and of itself was so significant, so large, that they did not feel that they needed to do anything beyond grant license rights to the licensee. So, you know, if you were looking for introductions into retail, coordinated retail program, opportunities for cross-promotion, with GM, those weren't there. So it's a different kind of license. And again, I think that's a good example of what can occur. And so when you do find out about that, which, by the way, we didn't find out until we actually got the contract, because it was stipulated in the contract, that's something you have to consider.
You hadn't signed the contract already and then found out.
No. They had made that a point. But when we did receive the contract, you know, and it was stated in there that pretty much, you know, you're on your own. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the exact terminology, but basically it said that you're on your own. There's no support. It did make us stop and pause. We had to have a discussion internally and make a determination. Was the brand, you know, and the license going to be strong enough? Were we prepared to go out on our own? Or is it something that was going to make us reconsider whether or not we wanted to take on this license, because we were looking for the licensor to provide more than just giving us the brand. We were looking for them to provide some support at various levels, whether it's through retail or promotions or whatever